And welcome to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. On this week's episode, we talked to Holly Smith, who has a really good conversation with me, talking about how and where she's got her horses and how she's managed to produce them to the top level, of which she's done a fantastic job because they've come from all weird and wonderful places. So Holly does a brilliant breakdown on where she's got them from and, you know, each step of the way into being top horses. But this last week in show jumping, it's been a great week for our Olympic hopefuls. Ben Mayer and Scott Brash both were on top form, as they always are, really, let's be honest. But Ben Mayer won the Grand Prix at Valkenswaard, the Global Tour Grand Prix, by over 2 seconds, just looked absolutely class. And Explosion and Ben, as everyone knows, is, in most people's opinion, the best combination in the world. And he's really, really coming into form just not too long till the Olympics now. So that is so great for Team Great Britain and Ben himself, who will certainly be fancying himself for an Olympic medal when they get to Tokyo. And also in St. Gallen, we sent a team there, but the main takeaway from St. Gallen was Scott Brash and Hello Vincent finishing second in the Grand Prix, just under a second behind Nael Nassar in the Grand Prix. And again, Vincent and Jefferson, probably the two that Scott will be looking for the Olympics, are both on exceptional form. They've both been placed in massive Grand Prix over the past couple of weeks, and it's looking so great for both Ben and Scott, showing incredible form, and both of them are probably the hottest riders in the world at the moment. They both shot up the rankings in the part in when the last ranking change came. They both moved up, and sure, it won't be long till they start moving up again because they are on fire. But looking at the Nations Cup from St. Gallen, there was some really good form that was shown. Harry Charles, who's only 21, jumped Romeo in his first five-star Nations Cup. He jumped round for one time fault. And that was a great result for Harry, who is looking to be one of those crucial third and fourth spots for the Nations Cup. And Holly Smith had one down in the Nations Cup, one down in the Grand Prix, showing good form. But I think Holly, who we talked to obviously on this episode, would be a little bit disappointed not to jump clear in one of those two, because we both know that Holly and Denver, when they're on great form, are really hard to beat. So it'll be interesting to see how she does in Le Bourg this week. Also around the continent, Peelbergen had a three-star Nations Cup and Ireland completely dominated there, jumping three double clears in the first three riders. And they, with Alex Butler, Owen Gallagher and Owen McMahon all jumping double clear, meaning David Simpson didn't even need to jump their fourth rider, their anchorman, as they finished on a score of zero. And Owen Gallagher finishing third in the Grand Prix on Baltic. He showing some really good form, even from Chard, where he won the Grand Prix very, very convincingly there. He obviously jumping double clear in the Nations Cup and then double clear again and third in the Grand Prix, doing extremely well. And then Britain sent a team there. They did fantastic. A couple of younger riders, with Joe Stockdale jumping, just having a small mistake in the first round and then jumping clear in the second when they put it up a bit. Jack Whittaker jumping clear and four on Scalempia. Will Whittaker, obviously a new partnership with Gael Tour, clear and four. And Chad Fellows jumped super clear in the first round. A little bit of mishap in the second where they had a little bit of fall. But it was a really good performance from the British team there. And I'm sure that will really help Joe Stockdale, who is going to make his first appearance in the Sopot, in a five-star in the Sopot Nations Cup. So that is great for him. And that form, he's done really, really well. So that's it for our news roundup for today. Please make sure you rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, share it to your friends who would like it. That would be fantastic. And on to Holly. Well, welcoming on the show this week is Olympic hopeful and number three in Britain at the moment, Holly Smith. How are you doing today?
Hi. Yeah, great to be with you.
And what are you doing at the moment? Where are you in the world?
I am actually at home. I've just recently returned from Gorla Minor in Italy. I'm just sort of in between jumping there and heading out to St. Gallen shortly for the first Five Star Nations Cup of the season.
Exciting, and I think they have a strong team, Britain do there with yourself and many other good people.
Yeah,
Forgot, I don't want to say the wrong team.
yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. My horse is in great form, Denver. He jumped really well out in Italy, and he just, like, in my gut, he feels ready for that step up now. So I'm actually really looking forward to it.
One thing I really wanted to touch on while talking to you is your top horses you've had, and with Denver obviously being your Olympic horse for this year, hopefully, fingers crossed. He coming from a weird background, Dougie Douglas, your first horse, your breakthrough horse, that came from a bit of an odd background, and the same with Heart's Destiny, your championship horse of the past. Another so. I start with whichever one you'd like, but just I'd love to know sort of how that came about. How did those horses find you, or how you found them?
I think the first important thing to note is that they were all jumping bred horses. You know, they were bred to jump, so the genes were there. The Dougie Douglas, he was a typical sort of came through the old-fashioned Irish route. He was bred by a dairy farmer, John O'Brien. He was, you know, bred to jump, but John did it the old-fashioned way, kept him until he was sort of 3, 4 years old, sent him to be broken in to be sent to the sales. You know, that was his route. That was always where he was going to go. He was going to go to Gorsbridge and he was going to be sold there. He didn't sort of try and be clever, flashing him loose jumping and sell him that sort of way. You know, it's a very old-fashioned route, and that's where we picked him up. Heart's Destiny, he's a British bred horse. Steph Scott, who bred him, she always knew he was a slow developing horse, so she really took her time with him. And then actually he ended up being sold to a British rider, and things didn't work out with him, and it ended up with I think a few legal proceedings or threats of.
Really?
I'm not really quite sure. So
That's unbelievable.
that delayed the horse from jumping for, I think it was like between a year and 18 months. So he ended up, Steph does working hunters, so he wasn't allowed to jump BS, I don't think. So actually he ended up doing some working hunters and just a bit of everything, really. He came to me as an 8-year-old, and I think Steph had jumped him in 3 fox hunters, and he was, you know, 8 years old. But again, it was all, it did him, you know, no harm whatsoever in the end. And then Denver, Connie Cope State bought him from Holland, I believe, as a 5-year-old, I think, and produced him down the eventing route, which he always showed great promise for, but he's a bit of a cheeky character, and he can be quite strong as well. And the cross country and Constance's small size just proved, like, she persevered for so long with him, and like she's always believed in the horse, and she tried to make the partnership work. I think she said she got to Bramham, and that was the final straw when he started half bolting down the steep slopes with her, and she said to herself that this is enough. So he came to that. She always knew he'd got potential to jump well. None of us knew he would be this good. So yeah, that was his route to 160 level. Yeah, some big
Because he,
speeds there.
yeah, because he came to you, Denver, we'll start with. He came to you quite a lot older than what a normal show jumping horse would.
But he'd had the thing is, the horse was well conditioned. He was, you know, he was in great physical condition. He knew how to jump jumps. He knew how to go quickly. He knew how to do angles and lines, and he'd had lots of nice training. He just hadn't been pointed at big courses yet, and that was my job, just to steer him through that clearly. And
But
yeah, he very quickly won a ranking class from, doing 130s. He very, very quickly emerged through. It wasn't a slow, painful experience at all.
And that's the thing is, for me, you got him, you saw him a little bit. All of a sudden, he was jumping at the top level,
I
and
know. Yeah.
like, it's how long sort of was that process for him?
Not very long. I, to be honest with you, I can't remember without looking at the dates, but I think I got him in sort of July, August time, something like that. Started jumping him, and he won a ranking class in Barcelona, which is October. And then I think he went on from from the September, October sort of time over the next year, he went on to be number one horse in the world on ranking points. So that is how quickly.
And when was it, did you think, after you got him, that right, I have a special horse here?
Something. Well, I did say to Graham, I said before I went to Barcelona, we gave him his last jump at home, and I did say to Graham, I said, I think this horse, I'm going to win a ranking class with him in Barcelona. And everybody was looking at me like, yeah, really? And yeah, I think his second class, he won a ranking class. So I just had a feeling like he has an unusual style. Not every jump is always the same sometimes, but he's so brave, he's so quick, and he's so careful. And I was thinking, well, you can criticize all you like, but what more do you need?
Definitely. Is there, so when training, obviously, to jump bigger jumps, obviously he didn't need much of an adjustment. Did you do a lot of that at home, or did he, like,
I
was
do
it
have
just in his
a
head?
bit. I do have a bit of a funny video actually, because Graham did sort of say that to me. He's like, "Well, have you ever jumped him over 160?" And I wouldn't say I'm not a wimp at home. I just don't jump like I don't jump 160 at home. Like it just doesn't. It's not in my program. So this is right. We'll give him a jump over something a bit bigger. And it was before I went to. I'd just broken my collarbone, actually. Not ju I just started riding again after breaking it. And we gave him a jump before Dublin, I think it was. And it jumped one. I wouldn't say it was full up 160, but a big fence on him. And he just did something a little bit strange and sort of flicked me out the saddle a bit. And I ended up falling off him. I was like, oh no. I have got it on video as well. It's highly amusing.
Oh
But I
dear.
mean, the horse jumped the fence fine. It's just a matter if I could stay on him.
Well, that'd be excellent promotion if you can send us that video.
Oh,
We might have
quite a
to
few
call
people
you
have
up on
seen it. I'm not sure it's fit for
that. I'm
public
joking.
viewing.
I'm joking. No, but that's it's quite incredible how, he's come on so quickly and is,
Yeah.
in my mind, one of the more certainties to be on the Olympic team. And personally, obviously,
I hope you're right.
so he is looking so good. But the other one, Dougie Douglas, your first top horse,
Yeah.
coming from the Irish Sales, which, as you say, it is old fashioned, and
Yeah.
that seems to be, a bit of a stigma every now and then that, oh, you
Yeah.
never know what you're going to get. So
No.
how did that come about?
Well, I came to sort of top level sport late, and I've sort of grown up sort of from when I was 18, 19, dealing horses basically. Like, but my Graham used to have a yard full of racehorses, and that we had a few selling horses, and he could see I was very motivated and very proactive about trying to turn these £3,000 horses into £6,000 horses and make a bit of money. I'd work really hard and do really well at it. And he said to me, he says, right, we need to try and find you some better types of horses. You'll make a bit more money, and you're better than just, riding these type of horses. So I worked really hard. I got all these horses, sold, and we went over to he said, we'll go to Gorsebridge. He said, there's some nicer types there, and you can see more horses in a day than you can in a month in England. So we'll go there. So we went there with, I don't know, about £25,000, something like that, that we'd got together through selling all these other bits and pieces. And we bought five horses on our first trip, and he was one of them. So
Good trip.
it was a good, it was a very good plan. It worked
Yeah.
well, and he went all the way through.
And did you have him from sorry for not that I should have probably checked, but did you
No,
have him straight from a young horse
he
or?
was just back 4 year old.
Yeah.
And Graham, to be fair to him, we saw him pop a few fences in the indoor arena at Gorsebridge. Graham would be a far better judge of a horse than I am, and he said to me and thought to himself, he's like, either that is the best thing I've ever seen, or it's the biggest con I've ever seen. And he did slot. I think we paid 5,800 euros for him, and he did stop bidding at 5,500. And for some
Yeah.
reason, I was sat next to him, and I was a bit like, I'm not normally like horses. I sort of take them or leave them. So I'm never, you're never sure, are you, with a 4 year old? And for some reason, he looked at me and went, "Oh, do you want it or not?" And normally, I'd just shrug my shoulders and think, "Oh, well, there's another one." And for some reason, I just said, "Yes." So we ended up taking him home. Thank God, I said yes.
And so how was he through his young horse ranks?
He was quite a sharp horse. Like whenever you sat, he never ever did anything wrong. He was the kindest, most straightforward, easiest animal to produce. You know, he was balanced and did a change from day one. But he just, when you didn't know him, he felt relatively dangerous when you got on him.
Really?
He was typical Irish, like quite wary, and absolutely impossible to touch his ears or to get a bridle on. And I think for 5 years, I used to have to take his bridle to bits to put it on, just undo it all on the left-hand side and put it on a bit like a head collar. In the end, he finally, I think about 6 months before we sold him, he finally gave up. But yeah, that was a good quirk. But
Definitely. And
as a competition animal, he was the easiest, most careful. Yeah, he was just an absolute pleasure.
when did you think he was going to be a top horse?
Or I doubted him all the way through.
Really?
Even though he was winning all the way and just did what he wasn't the most. You know, some horses you think, wow, they've got so much natural scope. He always had a fantastic technique, but he just kept jumping whatever height you put him at. You know, jumping fox hunter sometimes I'd be thinking. I mean, you have to bear in mind that I hadn't jumped above 120 before I had Doug. Not in the ring. I had at home, obviously, but so I didn't really know what I was doing or what I was looking at. So I probably could have done a far better job, but I didn't really know. And it was Graham actually that he was like, just keep going, Bear. He said he will be a 160 horse. I know he will. So yeah, we just kept going, and he was right.
And that was the thing, like you said, you had him, you never jumped above 120
No.
in the ring. And so was there, obviously doing dealing horses, but was, you know, through ponies and young riders and anything, was there any reason for that, or what was?
Finances, education. I played other sports, like I played a lot of hockey, and just, like it wasn't really. I know now, looking back, it was always in my heart. It's always what I wanted to do. But I never was. I did relatively well at school, and it always looked like I'd go down and be a professional of some type in a proper job. That's how it always looked like it would be. But I always like had this inner confidence that I could do it, and I did want to do it. But it just took me a while to commit to it, if that makes sense. And my parents didn't have the money to support me to do like top ponies or juniors or young riders or anything like that. They both work full time. We just weren't set up for that level of competition.
And then, so when did you make the decision to ride full time? What was what went happened there?
I think I had a gap year because I didn't really know what I wanted to study. And worked with horses a bit. I met Graham during that time. And I did go to university briefly for half a year. But on the side, I was sort of buying and selling at the time. And I was thinking, oh, I'm making more money at this than I will in my first 10 years, probably, of having a normal job. I probably wasn't actually when you look when you look at the bills, but that's how I looked at it, you know. And I just felt like I was enjoying it, and I felt ambitious, so I just went for it. I just had a moment of madness and just went for it. Better
And how was that? And did
late
you
than never.
did you think, like, at the time, right, I'm gonna be on European world teams? Was that ever something that would cross your
No,
mind?
felt
Because
impossible. If you'd asked me if you thought I like whether I could do it, I would have said yes, I can do it. Like I have an inner confidence to do it, but actually finding the horses and setting up the business and actually doing it, I couldn't have confidently said yes. Yeah, no way.
And here we are. So,
Yes.
it's, but the. Going back to Dougie Douglas, he was it all happened in such a flash. I was looking up, and your first international show was in 2013, which is 24. You were 24 at the time, which was quite like there's plenty of 18
Old.
year old riders which would have just done a lot of international
I know.
before then.
I know.
And how that it seems to be a bit of a theme with all of your horses. How did it go so quickly right up to the top level?
I think whilst I hadn't been competing at a higher level, I've spent my life around horses and bringing horses on and putting myself under pressures, you know, to sell and to do well, even at a lower level, to make profit and that sort of thing. So it's not completely different. And I just hadn't had the horsepower to do it, you know. But when I did, I went for it.
It must have been a bit of a shock, you jumped your first international your first Nations Cup in 2013. Was your Nations Cup debut 2013 as well, or was that 2014?
I think it would have been the year after, I think. Yeah,
So
2014. Yeah, Odense was my first one.
but if so, one year later you're at a Nations Cup, and then again on it wasn't long till you're on the Hixted Nations Cup team, and it
The
all
year after
progressed so
in Five
quickly.
Stars,
Did it ever
was it the
like
same year?
hit
No, I
you
think it
like
was the same year.
yeah
I try and make sure that if I get an opportunity, I absolutely grasp it, you know. Getting nervous or n not grasping it, it's not on my agenda, because I've had to make it where I have, if that makes sense. I haven't got the budget that a lot of people have got, or you know, I didn't have the horsepower, so I really, like, in my head, I had to make it count.
Definitely, definitely.
So yeah, I'm not
And
one to really look back and think about it like that.
then
I was trying to look
that's what
forward,
I'm here
but
for. But after all that success and bringing you to that top level, it must have been a really hard to say goodbye to him when he was sold away.
it was, as it happens, I didn't pick his home, but it could not have been a nicer home. And again, I try and look on any sort of adversity with positivity and think, well, I helped that horse land on his feet, and he helped me do what I did. So it's just win-win, isn't it? That's how I look at it.
No, definitely. Well, that's fantastic.
It would have been
Like,
nice to still have him, though. I was talking to me and Graham were speaking last night. I said, God, can you imagine if I could have had Hearts Destiny, Denver, and Dougie Douglas all at the same time? What a team for the Five Stars that would have been. And then we
No.
were reminiscing about what horses we'd fill the yard with, dead or alive or sold. If you could have them all together, it would be amazing, wouldn't
Oh
it?
geez, it really would have been.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that, though,
No,
unfortunately.
unfortunately not. And then
No.
obviously after Dougie Douglas came Hearts Destiny,
Yeah.
who as we'll start, like he came, like you say, he did a bit of working hunters and then came to you as an 8-year-old. How, what was he like? You know, the first few shows you went to, I actually think my mum and I were at Addington when we, I think she might have tried to buy it or
Yeah,
something.
I think a few people did. I can remember a few people's jaws sort of dropped when they saw him there that day. I think that was the day like we sort of realized how good he was as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think Dougie Douglas made 5-star level possible. He made it to Heart's Destiny made it feel easy.
Really? Really?
Yes, he made it feel easy. The size of the jumps and just how level-headed he was. He was an absolute pleasure.
You know, those first few classes you had him in, was did he just feel like a, you know, a, just a different machine?
Yeah, he wasn't as Doug was the most balanced, like rideable horse that has ever existed. Whereas Heart's Destiny was he was a green horse and he continued to be quite green for quite a while. He was so genuine and tried so hard, but he was just a bigger, wobblier type of horse. I remember even when I jumped him at Tryon, the World Equestrian Games, even that he was still green down his related distances, not really looking where he was going, and I felt like I was like taking a baby around its first newcomers, and I was thinking, oh, this isn't the place for this. But his ability got him through, and he just yeah, he tried his heart out.
And then he obviously taking you to, like you say, try on
Yeah.
World Games and then into the individual final at the Europeans a year
Yes.
later. That
Yes.
must have been fantastic.
Yeah, it was when I look back again, there was I think at the end of the week, actually, after we'd done it, I sort of realized how much pressure was on us building up to that. But again, I try and look at pressure with positivity. You know, I just if I feel myself getting a bit nervous or stressed, I just think, well, what a great position we're in, you know, and try and embrace it.
Definitely. And then that comes part of the conversation, which I think we're both dreading. It's obviously, we all know what happened. He sadly had to be, well, passed away.
Yeah.
What was it, start of, end of last year?
Sort of the middle, I think, is May or about June, I think it was, June time.
And that just, I can't, I don't think words could put into place how awful that would have been for
No,
you and the team.
it was absolutely tragic for the team and his owners, Sue and Gordon Hall, who absolutely adored him. But again, I try and whenever I think about it, I just think how lucky were we to have had that horse. Like the journey he took us on, it was a complete whirlwind. We loved him to bits. I think he loved us. And yeah, he made 5-star level easy.
Yeah, and it obviously looked like that. It looked a fantastic horse, and like you
Yes.
said, it wouldn't have it been lovely to, you know, Denver and Heart's Destiny at the top level at the
I
same
know.
time would have been
I had
fantastic.
well, I did have them together for a short time and managed to be leading rider at Olympia and like yeah, it opened my eyes to what was possible. Unfortunately, we only got a glimpse of what maybe could have like what we could have done like with the team of them. But a glimpse is better than nothing, isn't it?
Exactly. There's, I'm sure there's plenty of people who would have loved to have had him at one
Yes.
stage, but it
Yeah.
onwards and upwards, because he was a fantastic horse, and like you
Correct,
say, you
yeah.
look back and
Forever
think
grateful.
positively. Exactly. And you know, like you say, Denver now looks fantastic. Still, after losing a top horse, still in the running for the Olympics, very strongly, and top 50 in the world. Can you
Yeah.
know? You can, with, like you say, doing St. Gallen and plenty more 5-star shows, it's still a great position to be in.
It is a fantastic position. It's just unfortunately that the devil on my shoulder now thinks, oh, you can get into 4 and 5-star shows every week, and most of the riders around that ranking they're going every week, and I'm not. You know, it's always wanted. I think most elite athletes are the same. You're always wanting more.
And that's what drives everyone, isn't
Yeah,
it? You always want to do better, but
yeah.
Yeah, you've done a fantastic job with with the ones you've had. Even the other horses winning a lot recently as well.
Chris
Being
Ellie, yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. Yeah, he's an absolutely great team member. Such a genuine, fun horse. He's quick against the clock, he's brave, and we love him to bits.
And what about young horses? Do you have any young horses coming up, looking as if they, in time will be a future top horse?
Yeah, actually we have I don't want to single out some and not others. It's always dangerous, isn't it? But we have 2 7-year-olds. Actually, we own ourselves, myself and Graham own them. One is called HHS JD. He was bred by the Hughes Horse Stud in Ireland, Marion Hughes's setup. And actually, he came to us as a trade horse, as a hunter to sell. another one, I'd actually been hunting him for 2 months before we realized he did actually show promise over poles. I think he was quite a poor youngster, and a bit of a late developer. He's qualified for the newcomers final for Hoys this year already. Actually, only did his first show in March, I think, ever. Yeah, so he's come to quite quickly. And we have another 7-year-old called Cavan. He is a Kevin Zed. He was bred by the team at the Western Lawn Stud, and he has also, I think, he's qualified for 2 classes at Hoys now. The Talent Seekers and the Fox Hunter final. He won the Fox Hunter final with our stable jockey Nicole Lockhead Anderson up at Morris at the weekend. So they both look like great prospects. The big scopey types, and at 7 years old and away from the top level of the sport, which is exciting.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Well, what I'm gonna do now is change the conversation up a bit. I'm even Deborah, who helps produce this, might even cut this out because but this is what I do. I think of random things, and I wanted to
Go
throw
for
it
it.
at someone. So obviously, like you said, the FBI ranking system is, I think, overall does work well, but it is suited for people with more horses, and because obviously more chances to win more
Yes.
points.
Yes.
But so there's two things. I'll start with my and also you mentioned cost and everything. It's hard. So there's two things. My first rule change is for a two star, I think that should only be allowed to be a two star as long as they have two ranking classes. And if they have one ranking class, that should be classified as a one star. And with that being less entry, like less money for the entry fees. So that's because obviously it goes up in tiers. I don't think the entry fees should be the
Yeah,
same.
the 2 star shows you the one ranking class. They are not the best value, really. In my opinion, I do think I tend to steer clear of them, to be honest. So yeah, I would agree with you there.
Oh, there you go. That was very
That
that was
was
a
easy,
very
wasn't
easy
it?
sell. That's an easy
Yeah.
sell. Well, the next one's a little bit more of a, a bit more of a random thing. So my thing is, especially this is more suited for you jumping at the top level. My theory is that some of the best 5-star shows, so your Calgarys, your Arkans, your
Yeah.
Prags, and
Yeah.
Geneva, all of those ones with the massive prize money
Yeah.
are so far ahead of some of the smaller 5-star shows. Which, if
Yes.
anyone's running a 5-star show, I would love to go. Like, I'm not saying that they're still fantastic shows,
Yes.
but
It's a different
I think
league.
they sh it's a different league. So I think personally, well, this is a bit. I think it should be classified as more as either a 5-star or a 6-star or something, just to show the difference
Yeah.
between the absolute top shows with over like those classes have, as have 1 million euro prize funds, which is
Yes.
just unbelievable. And
Yeah.
I think that should be more of a staple for the top shows to aim at,
Yeah.
and so obviously making it even more prestigious. Obviously, we all
Yeah,
know that
it
Arkin and
they'd be the
Calgary
pinnacle,
are.
they're the pinnacle of the sport, aren't they?
Exactly, and then just by doing that, it just highlights it that little bit more, and hopefully
Yeah.
it the you know the shows that are close to being that, like, hopefully we'll go, oh, go on, we'd love to have a six
Yeah.
star show, we're one of the 5 to 10.
Yes.
And then also obviously putting some ranking points into it, I think that it's because they have the AA, B, it goes down, does
Yes,
should
yes.
the ones with over 1 million prize fund should have a triple A ranking point with even more ranking points. So, like, for instance, I know double A is 150 points to the winner, and then I reckon for those absolute for the over 1 million euro prize fund, it should be say 250. Obviously, all a work in progress, and this is probably never going to be done, but it's just one of my theories that I've thought of.
Yeah, again, they're the biggest classes around. They deserve the most points, and I think it encourages riders to focus, producing the horses for those bigger classes, which is what show jumping is all about, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're the first person who hasn't called me an idiot for that one, so you're more than
Well,
welcome to come
it
back
wouldn't
any other
work
way.
in my favour because my ranking's not quite there to get into those shows, so yeah,
Well,
maybe I am, maybe I'm the
Well, two of them are Nations Cup shows. If we send a team, you still would get to
Yes,
go. And I think
yeah,
you'd quite
but
fancy Denver at Arken or Calgary. I think that would be a.
I was literally just thinking that to myself earlier. I was had a bit of a long drive, and you know how you daydream as you're driving along. I was thinking, yeah, it's been going well. I'd really like that. So yeah.
No. Well, anyway, hopefully that won't be in the too distant future when we sort of haven't sent a team for a year or 2 years or however long it has been. So hopefully
Yeah.
that will happen, and
Yeah.
that would be
Be
quite
really
nice to go to
cool.
Calgary and jump for 3 million prize fund in their Grand Prix.
Yeah, it
That'd be
sounds
lovely.
good.
Then you imagine how many Dougie Douglases you could buy with that.
I
That
know.
would be. Anyway,
Yeah.
thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Holly. It's been great to talk to you, and best
Thanks
of
for
luck over the next year.
Thank you very much.
Before we go, I just want to tell you about Pro Rider Academy. They are a fantastic business that really helps riders increase their promotional and marketing strategies. They've helped me a lot in my Instagram and my social media, as well as helping me produce this podcast, where they've been instrumental in getting it back off the ground, where we've and really, really helping me. So if you have anything that you want to talk to them about, please hit them up on Instagram at Pro Rider Academy, and they will help you reach the next level for your promotion and marketing strategies. So thank you very much for listening. It was great. Thank you again so much to Holly, who was fantastic. Obviously, some of that was a little bit tough to talk about. I really, really appreciate her coming on and being so honest and candid in her answers. So we wish her the best of luck in the build-up for the Olympics, where I think she has a really, really strong candidacy to be in the Olympic team. So, thank you very much to Holly, and thank you very much for listening. We'll speak again next week.